Good morning, everybody. Welcome to PM and the AM. My name is Mike Campbell, my lovely wife, Jada.
Good morning, everybody. It's a great day to talk about the Word of God.
I got a lot of emblems all over me today.
Yes, you do.
Celebrating with Chris Know and George Know, S-U-M, Theological School, Theological College and Bible School. Hey, along with Chris Know, my fishing fanatic.
That's right.
Friend, all right? So at any rate, hey, I hope y'all are all doing good. We've been talking about the anointing, honey. I am so pumped over this subject.
Yes, anointed for life. The fact that we have an anointing to live this life that God's called us
to. And, you know, most people don't understand the anointing. And they don't understand how to work with it, how to flow with it, it should be him.
And I do think that people assume that the only people who have an anointing are fivefold ministry.
Right.
I think that's what the mindset that people have is that the anointing is about preaching and teaching and only for the fivefold ministry. But we want to cover that a little bit more.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to pick that back up and talk a little bit more about it. But notice that Jesus was baptized by God with the Holy Spirit and power. Mm-hmm. Look in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. You want to read that?
Sure.
You
got it says, right the there? Next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
I love that. I love that. Behold. I mean, can you imagine pointing at him? Just throwing a finger.
Well, he's declaring it to everybody standing there, his own disciples and everybody standing around.
He said, "Guys, look, there he is.
There he is.
There he is. The Lamb of God." And they were probably like,
"Huh?
What?
What?"
Like most of us would have been.
That's right. What? "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me."
Wait a minute.
And why was he before him? Because
he was in the beginning.
Yes, he was always there with God.
John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But listen to me, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us."
Which is what we're talking
about.
Okay,
so check this out. John recognized who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And notice, John didn't mind taking a step back out of the limelight.
That's good.
So that Jesus could become. In fact, there's a place where John says, "I must decrease so that he, the one who has the yoke destroying power of God on him, can increase." Mm-hmm. John didn't have that. He was baptizing for the forgiveness of sin, right?
Right.
He didn't have the power to forgive sin.
Right.
He didn't have the power to destroy
the works of the devil.
This
is what we covered.
So he takes a step back so that Jesus can step forward into the ministry that God called him to. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right now. We could stop and preach for a week just on that.
You know,
that is powerful.
That's right. You know, there's a lesson in that for people who are ministers, fivefold ministry. We need to make sure that Jesus is in the forefront of everything that we do.
I know it.
Not let our name get any bigger than Jesus.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're staying humble, that everything that we're able to do is through the power of God.
You know, it's interesting. I'll say this. Not everybody, listen, pastors, ministers, and I know there's probably not a lot of great big ministries out there watching this. You don't have to take every call that comes, especially you don't take it just because it's a big ministry. All right. You need to be allowing God to speak to you, to lead you and to guide you. I know a lot of these, a lot of large ministers. When I say large, I'm talking about their ministries, not their person. And they'll run and run and run, and then they get burned out. And then sin creeps into their life. Why? Because their relationship with Jesus begins to suffer because they're doing all this running because they think they're supposed to. No, Jesus didn't run anywhere.
Right.
Jesus went where he was supposed to go,
mm-hmm.
and God kept him nourished.
Mm-hmm.
God kept him supplied, and God kept him going in the right direction.
Right.
So you can do the same thing.
And Jesus found times where he needed to have quiet time.
Yeah,
he needed
get
to
along.
Have prayer time. And there's definitely that in everybody who ministers.
Yeah, so let's
and
go ahead.
And even the layperson in the church, if you're not careful, you'll get busy doing the work of the ministry and all of your volunteer stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, your relationship will diminish as well.
Right.
Well, let's continue
Verse 31.
On. Stay on our focus here. Verse 31. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water." This is John still talking.
John being the forerunner of the Messiah.
Right. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit ascending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Verse 33, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.
Now, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Good job, Reed. So notice it said, whom you see the Spirit descending upon and remaining. The Spirit of God did not always remain upon the prophet, the priest, and the king, those who were anointed in the old covenant. Remember Elijah? You know, he just slew 450 prophets of Baal. And what's the king's name?
Ahab.
He's got his chariots. He's headed back to his palace across the Jezreel Valley. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he outran the fastest chariots of the king. In other words, he beat the king, and the king had left way before him.
Right.
And he outran him.
Yeah,
ladies and
horse.
Gentlemen, notice it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
Right.
See, it wasn't always upon him. But when it would come upon him, God would give him empowerment to do certain things. Mm-hmm. But notice Jesus has the Spirit upon him, and it remains. There was a differentiation from the old to the new. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to us. The Spirit of God remains upon us. We don't see a lot of things because we don't spend the time necessary that it takes for that anointing to be developed so we can respond on the God moment. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about this, Jada, life moves pretty fast and everybody's in a hurry to get something done. Life is, I mean, it's just, you know, we got our kids, we got our grandkids, we got work, we got all these things are going on, and we're having to make decisions, and sometimes we just make them too quick. Mm. Now, I'll say this, Jesus didn't make snap decisions. Let's take, for instance, the woman who was caught in adultery. When they brought her to Jesus, they said, the law says this. What do you say? Mm-hmm. The law says stone her. What do you say? They all had their stones from the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus bent down, wrote in the sand, and waited for the Spirit of God to give him what he needed to say. Mm-hmm. I want to say this. We need to slow our lives down. There's some times when we're confronted with stuff. We don't need to give a quick answer. And we don't need to jump into something. We need to pause however long it takes and wait on the Spirit of God, because what Jesus wrote in the sand was not important, or it'd be in the Bible. No, what Jesus was doing was waiting for the Father to give him a word. He said he only did what his Father did, only said what his Father said. He was waiting to hear from heaven. And you and I need to get in the same place. We make snap decisions that's not of God, and then we get in the ditch, and then we get mad at God.
Right.
Quit getting mad at God. Notice, it remained upon him, and it will remain upon you. This is another account, but notice that John says, the one whom the Spirit comes on and remains is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now we're about to get into something that's totally exciting, because the anointing is on you also. Now, before we get to that, I told you we would talk about this today. Do we have time? How much? Yeah, we got time. Mm-hmm. It says, now what you need to understand is that Jesus was 100% the Son of God, but he was also 100% man. Mm-hmm. And if he had ministered as the Son of God, he would not have had to be anointed.
Right.
Now listen to me very closely.
Because he would have had the power of God as the Son of
Jesus's
God.
Jesus' first miracle was the wedding in Cana.
Yes.
Is that not true? That's what the scripture recorded in John chapter 2.
And his mama kind of forced him.
But he was the Son of God before that. Why didn't he do anything? Let me give you the answer. Honey, you want to read Philippians 2, 5?
Yes, and we're going to read the Message Bible version, because it really expounds a lot on some of these words that we have in the other versions. Philippians 2, 5 through 8.
Okay.
Think of yourselves the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what.
Oh, stop right there. Oh, my. He didn't have to cling to that status. Mm-hmm. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, now, pastors, all you big-time ministers, you don't have to cling to that. Mm-hmm. Right? Who you are is who you are in Christ.
Right.
You're anointed by God. Mm-hmm. And that anointing shouldn't make who you are, all right? Or, I mean, I know it helps us to become the person we need to be,
right?
But that shouldn't be your own identity. Mm-hmm. Your identity is found in Christ, the Son of God.
Right.
If he was the Son of God and he wasn't caught up in status, you don't need to get caught up in it either.
Right. And that's right? The same with lay people in the church as well. It says, right. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human.
He set aside his deity and glory mm-hmm. so that he could be born a man. Still 100% God, but without the glory, mm-hmm. which came on the day he was baptized in the River Jordan when the Spirit descended upon him.
And it goes back once again to the choice that he makes. God always gives us a choice, just like he gave yeah. his Son a choice. Yeah. So he chose to do this. Then it says, having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. And that goes to show the time that he goes into the wilderness for 40 yeah. days and Jesus and the devil tempted him. We can talk more about that.
We're going to pick this up tomorrow. We got to stop right here. But listen, you be sure and join us tomorrow at the same bat time because this is crucial. And actually, I think we're wrapping this week up. So be sure and join us tomorrow, okay? Father, I pray for every person. I pray that the Spirit of God will live big upon them and within them. And we thank you that he leads us in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Well, this is PM in the AM. Will you receive the engrafted word that is able to change your life and destiny if you will allow it? Make sure you click your like, share, follow right down there so you can follow and your family and friends can get connected as well to this daily word with Mike and Jada. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe now so you can follow what we're doing around the world.
Hey, join us again tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. For more of PM in the AM. God bless, everybody.
God bless.